Okay, so the 9 days are almost upon us. So I figured let's learn some halachos about the 9 days. Also, it's always good, as we'll see, to learn the halachos of the 9 days in advance. You know, sometimes when we remind ourselves of the halachos right before, we get ourselves into trouble. So we'll see. We'll go through many of the halachos. Number one, so one of the more commonly, one of the more famous halachos, everybody knows this, is that we cannot eat meat or drink wine from Rosh Chodesh through Tisha B'Av, right? For the entire duration of the 9 days, what we call the 9 days, which is Rosh Chodesh. There are several reasons given for this prohibition. Some say because eating meat and drinking wine is pleasurable. You know, people like to go out to a nice steakhouse and they get a glass of wine. It's a pleasurable foods to consume. So this is something that we want to stay away from during the 9 days when we're not supposed to be engaging in so much pleasure. There are others who explain it based on a Gemara in Bava Basra, an interesting Gemara, where the Gemara said after the Churban Abayis, so you had some people who they themselves accepted upon themselves certain restrictions, and some of them were not eating meat and drinking wine. And some of the Rabbanim actually confronted these people, and they said, you know, where do you come to this custom from? You know, we never enacted any prohibition of you can't eat meat or drink wine, so what are you doing? And the people themselves said, well, how can we do it? How can we eat meat? You know, we don't have karbanos anymore. How can we drink wine? We don't have nasachim anymore. How can we do all these things? And the Rabbanim were very impressed by these people. But nevertheless, the Rabbanim did not enact a general decree for everyone. Why? Because they felt that this was not something that people could stay with. It's not something that people could tolerate. To never eat meat and drink wine, you know, except for maybe Shabbos and Yontif, but otherwise to never eat meat and drink wine because of the Churban Abayis, that's not something we can handle. We can't become a dairy nation. And therefore they said, listen, you know, we're not going to enact it. However, for 9 days, Rosh Chodesh Av through Tisha B'Av, where we're actually mourning for the Churban Abayis, so for those 9 days, you know what, it's not a bad idea. And some say that based on that, the Gros says this, that based on that, they enacted this prohibition of meat and wine during this period. The prohibition of meat applies to all types of meat, not just beef, but it applies to meat, it applies to poultry, chicken, you know, anything like that, everything that it applies to all that as well. And it also applies to anything that was cooked with meat. So for example, if you have like a beef lo mein, so you know, you can't just pick out the pieces of beef and eat the rest of it, you know, eat the noodles and the vegetables, because it was all cooked together, so it all has the tam basar, it all has the taste of the meat, and therefore the entire dish is prohibited. If something is just cooked in meat utensils, that's okay, right? So if you have a fleishig kalim, you know, you make a potato kugel, and you cook it in just a fleishig pan, so you don't cook that with meat, it's part of it, it's just potatoes and onions and whatever else you make it with, but it's cooked in a meat dish, that's okay. Right, if it's just the actual utensil that's meat, that's fleishig, that's okay. But if it's actually cooked with meat or with chicken, then it would be problematic. When we say that wine is prohibited, it's not just wine, but it's any grape, you know, grape juice. So grapes are okay, but grape juice and wine are both included. You should not cook with wine. You know, sometimes people use wine as ingredients. You know, they're making a salmon and they want to cook with some white wine. You can't cook with wine during this time period either. On Shabbos we have an exception. On Shabbos, you're allowed to eat meat and to drink wine. So obviously, we drink wine for Kiddush. You can drink a glass of wine during the meal if you want. You're allowed to have meat and chicken. We don't have any of these restrictions on Shabbos, even though it's Shabbos Chazon. You know, and we might sing L'chadodi to the sad tunes and the haftorah, whatever. But we don't, you know, when it comes to meat and wine, we don't have any restrictions on Shabbos. The question becomes, what about Havdalah? Because Havdalah, you're ending Shabbos with Havdalah, right? So by the time you're drinking the wine, it's already not Shabbos anymore. But this is kind of the end of Shabbos. So the poskim say there are different opinions. I know some people have a minhag not to make Havdalah on wine. But many poskim say that you can. Right, the Ramah himself says that you can make Havdalah on grape juice or wine. And the poskim say as follows, that if you have a child in your house between the age of 6 and 8, so then that child should drink the wine and not you, not the one who made Havdalah. But if you don't have a child between the age of 6 and 8, then you can drink it. You can drink the wine, you can drink the grape juice, doesn't matter. and it's okay. Why a child between 6 and 8? So they say because a child between 6 and 8 is at a stage where they have reached the age of chinuch for mitzvos. In general, they begin practicing, you know, doing things, making brachos, doing things when it comes to mitzvos. So they kind of get the concept of mitzvos, but they're not really mature enough to understand the concept of churban, of destruction, of the fact that we lost the Beis HaMikdash, and they should be sad and mourn. That's not something that they're really equipped to appreciate. So therefore, they're old enough to drink the wine of Havdalah because they've reached the age of chinuch, but they're not quite at that stage where they can appreciate the churban, and therefore it's not such a big deal for them to drink the wine. Again, that being said, if you don't have a child of that age, it's a very specific age, I happen to have one, but if you don't have a child of that age, you know, you don't have to borrow him from me. You can just make you can make your own Havdalah. You can make it on wine or grape juice, and you can even drink it after Havdalah.
It's not necessary.
Because the Rama says that you're allowed to. So if you have a katan, you give it to a katan, but if not, then not. Then you can do it. Some have the minhag to do it on Chamar Medina, but it's not necessary. Okay. The second thing is purchasing new clothing, linen, towels, and things like that. So we also avoid any types of purchasing of genre of items, clothing, linen, towels. All of that is included in the same idea that we don't purchase those items during the 9 days. Or again, different reasons are given for this prohibition. Some say that when you buy those things, it brings you a little bit of simcha. You get some new clothing. It's a little bit exciting when you wear it for the first time. You know, a woman buys new linens or new towels. You know, if I got a new towel, I don't know if I'd be so excited. But you know, people sometimes get excited by a new linen and new towels. So that's something also that we want to try to avoid during this time. There are those who give other reasons also that it's similar to washing clothing and laundering clothing, which we'll talk about. But whatever the case might be, we don't purchase these things during the 9 days. The Poskim say also you should avoid window shopping. You know. I mean, if you're just walking around the city and you happen to be looking in the windows, that's fine. But to actually go, even if I'm not going to buy it, but I'm going to pick out, you know, the new suit that I want, I'm going to pick out the linens that I want, you should try to avoid that also. Because that too, you know, engenders a little bit of simcha when you're involved in the process. If you have something that's going to be, that's not going to be available, so let's say there's a sale that's going on during the 9 days, you know, a 9 day sale. And right, 9 day sale, and it's not going to be available for that price after Tisha B'Av. If you wait till after Tisha B'Av, you're going to lose the sale price. So then that's okay. Then you're allowed to purchase it at that sale price during the 9 days. You don't have to lose money over this, you know. But it's something that we try to avoid nowadays with all of the online ordering. So you have a whole new genre of shilas that have come up. So the post can say nowadays that you know when so many people order online. That even ordering online should be avoided. Because even when you order online and you pay for it, so then also there's a simcha that comes with that. If there's a type of thing, which is kind of hard to find nowadays, where you would order, but you wouldn't pay for it. You know, so you would put the order in, but you're going to pay for it and pick it up after Tisha B'Av. So that type of thing would be okay. Because if you're not paying for it, so then it's not really yours, and there's an element of simcha that's missing there. You know, if you haven't yet really paid for it and really acquired it, so then that would be okay. But again, that's hard to come by. No stores, no all stores now. You can't, the order's not going to go through. I'm sorry?
You can add it to your cart online.
Right, exactly. So if you want to do something like that, you want to put it in your cart, you know, something like that, so then that would be mutter. That would be mutter. But to actually order it and pay for it would be problematic. You are allowed to return. Right, you're allowed to return items. So let's say you bought a suit and you don't like it, you want to take it back. You know the window is closing. You know the window of opportunity to return is closing. You want to return it, so that's fine. You can return it for a refund, for a store credit, whatever the case is. You can return it, but you shouldn't exchange it. You shouldn't take your suit back and then say, okay, you know, I'm going to take a different suit instead. Just return it and then come back after Tisha B'Av to get your new suit. Yeah.
So adding something to your cart is acceptable.
Right.
Window shopping.
So how is that different than window shopping? So that's a good question. I was thinking about that. It's a good question. How is that different than window shopping? So I think in essence what I said before was that you should try to avoid window shopping. In other words, window shopping is not awesome. And this is not awesome. That's to put something in your cart. I'm sorry?
Window shopping is an activity. People go to window shop, not necessarily buy.
So you're saying it's the activity that's enjoyable.
Right, because...
Yeah, but people like...
It's like a layaway plan. Like we said, you probably don't remember, but yeah. Like when I was growing up, they had to let, you know, people would say, I want this suit or this... Put it aside, and every week they would pay $10, $15, mm-hmm. whatever it is.
That's not what happens in your card. When you press the button, you buy it.
No, as soon as you press the button.
Okay, yeah, I know.
Yeah, but then you pay for it, Brian.
And there's no enjoyment.
No, but Brian, then you pay for it.
Yes.
Okay, but that's not what the rabbis.
Okay, so some people like shopping online. You know, there are people who enjoy going online and going on Amazon or going on whatever, jcrew.com or whatever website, that they're going to go to. And they like, even if they're not actually paying for it just them, but they like, finding what they like, putting it in the cart. That's also an enjoyable experience for some people. So I've heard. I don't really understand it, but so I've heard. But that's an enjoyable experience. I think, again, the idea is that it's best to avoid all types of this, type of window shopping. If a person's doing it, it's not usser. If you're doing it, at least don't pay for it. If you're going to put it in your cart, or whatever the case is, at least don't pay for it. But
what about appliances?
Okay, good. So we'll get to that. Till now, we're only talking about clothing, garments and other things. So let's talk about that now. So technically speaking, any other items, you want to buy a new mug, you want to buy a chair, whatever you want to buy. Technically speaking, there are no problems. There's no prohibition to buy those items. During the 9 days, you can buy any other sort of item as long as it's not clothing, linen, towels, and garments such as those. But other items, you technically can buy. What they say, the post can say, you should try to avoid buying something that's really going to bring you simcha. So if you're just buying a new mug, you're buying something small, regular type of purchases. You have to get new batteries, for your flashlight. So that's fine. But if you're going and buying like a new couch, or a new appliance, which is really going to make you happy, wow, finally I have my Sub-Zero, refrigerator after all these years of the Kenmore, refrigerators. So then, that should be avoided until after Tisha B'Av. Obviously, if it's broken and you need it, you don't have a refrigerator because your refrigerator broke, so then you can buy a new one. Because then you're not buying it to enjoy it. It's not that you're not upgrading to a better fridge. You don't have a fridge, so then that's fine. But just to upgrade or to buy something, to buy jewelry or something, those kind of things should be avoided. Again, the idea is that we don't want to cause any extra level of simcha during the 9 days. Regular standard living is okay. We don't have to sit on the floor throughout the 9 days in a pile of ash. But at the same time, we don't want to do things that are going to bring extra simcha into our lives at this time. Okay. Laundering. So we don't launder, we don't wash, launder, dry clean, all that is included. We don't do any of those things to, again, garments, towels, tablecloths, linen, everything is included in this prohibition. We don't do any sort of laundry during the 9 days. We have to do everything beforehand, and that's why already starting this week we should be preparing and making sure that we have our stashes of clean things. Both. We'll talk about it. Both. Right now we're talking about actually laundering.
Right.
Okay, and the reason why laundering was prohibited, and this is interesting, is because laundering used to be a very time-consuming ordeal.
Right?
Yeah, you would have to take it out down to the river or out back with the board. Okay, it was a very serious ordeal. Chazal prohibited laundering. Why? The real reason why Chazal prohibited it, it's clear from the poskim, is that it's going to be a hesach hadas. You're going to spend all those hours laundering. You're not going to be thinking about, it's the 9 days, I should be thinking about Yerushalayim, the Churban HaBayis. You're going to be worried about getting that stain out of your shirt. So therefore, correct. But it's something that's going to distract me. I'm not going to be able to concentrate on the morning for the Churban HaBayis. So there are those who say now, who say nowadays, who at least raise the issue, that nowadays laundering is much easier. Right? Now again, my wife will tell you sometimes not so easy. It depends also on how many kids you have and how dirty the shirts are and things like that.
If you're giving out the dry clean,
then it's very easy, right? Then it's very, that's true, right? But even nowadays at home, so you take the dirty hamper, you dump it into the washing machine, assuming that you don't have to work on any stains, and it comes out, a couple hours later, it's fresh and clean. And okay, you got to fold it, but it's fresh and clean. So nowadays, so some raise this issue that it's not really as time consuming nowadays. But nevertheless, we say that the prohibition still exists. Sometimes it can be time consuming. Sometimes it can be annoying to do it, and it can be distracting. You know, you have to do things when it comes to washing. So therefore, we include everything. And dry cleaning was also included. It was included in general. This was a blanket prohibition. All types of cleaning clothes. You know, once they made the prohibition, they made again a blanket prohibition to refer to everything. It's interesting. Just as an aside, we mentioned last week that during the 3 weeks, you're allowed, even though we don't get haircuts during the 3 weeks, but you're allowed to cut a shetel during the 3 weeks. Why? So the logic that we gave was because a shetel is not considered hair. Right, even though it might be made from hair, and even if it's made from real hair, but it's not your hair. Right. And even if it is your hair, but it doesn't matter because it's no longer attached to your head. Right, so it's not hair. A shetel is considered a garment. So that's a kula, leniency for the 3 weeks. But the problem is, that's a chumra for the 9 days. Because since during the 9 days, you're not allowed to launder any garments, or you know, fix up any garments. Right. So therefore the poskim say that although you are allowed to wash or cut a shetel during the 3 weeks, you cannot do so during the 9 days. Because the 9 days, it's a garment, and we don't launder garments during the 9 days. We don't clean garments during the 9 days. Why?
Because you can't bathe during the 9 days anyway. So if you're going to tell me it's real hair, yeah. so then you couldn't bathe okay. anyway. So you can't,
but it's not hair. It's not.
No, I'm saying. So
yeah, yeah, right.
However you hold, the outcome's going to come out the same.
I understand. Okay, I hear what you're saying, but you know, the bathing is really your goof. You know, so obviously it's not attached to you.
But I'm saying, but
I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. Right.
It's real hair or it's not. You know, if it's.
I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. Okay. So the halacha is when it comes to a dry cleaner. Also, we don't drop off clothing at a dry cleaner, even if we say, listen, I'm not going to pick it up until after Tisha B'Av. You should not do that, right? You don't drop off clothing during the 9 days either. If we dropped off clothing before the 9 days. You're allowed to pick it up during the 9 days, so that's nothing, right? You're just picking it up from the store, so that's okay. But to drop it off, you shouldn't. Do it now.
No, I'm saying, but you don't want to take three suitcases with you.
Yeah.
If you're traveling, let's say you're away for 2 weeks.
Okay. So that's a good question. So if you're traveling, you're saying, do you have to take, right? So you could take a normal, and you're saying what? You're going to have to take five, six underwear. You're going to have to do laundry?
You have to do laundry in the middle.
Right, you have to do laundry. I got to think about that. That's an interesting question, right? How much do you have to bring? If you're going away for 10 days, you have to bring...
materials that you don't have to do any of that for travel. That we'll all be familiar with them in a few years.
Uh-huh.
You don't have to launder your shirts or your underwear or your socks anymore.
Really?
You don't absorb anything.
It's like the... It's like in the Midbar. It's like the miracle clothing.
Right.
I don't know. I have to look into it. It's an interesting question. I think I saw something about it once, but I have to double check. Yeah. Yeah. No. So we'll talk about wearing. Right now we're just talking about the actual cleaning. Okay? So don't drop anything off at the dry cleaners. You can pick things up. If something happened, for example, let's say you got a stain on your shirt. You know, you're eating on Shabbos and the cholent falls the plop right on your shirt. And your wife tells you, listen, if you don't treat that right now, right after Shabbos, then you might as well throw your shirt in the garbage. It's going to be garbage. So then you're allowed to spot treat it. You can't launder it, but you can spot treat it just to, you know, spray some stuff on it or whatever you do, you know, to get out the stains, just to make sure the stain won't set in and ruin the garment. You don't have to ruin the garment during the 9 days. If you have children, young children in the house who are constantly soiling themselves, I think my son went through like 2 or 3 shirts today. So if you have little kids and they're constantly getting themselves dirty, So then you can launder their clothing as necessary, right? You can launder for young children as necessary. If you have, there are different opinions about this, but generally, Rav Simcha Bunim Cohen Paskins this way, that let's say you prepared in advance, and something happened, you know, so soda spilled on your suitcase or in your drawer and everything got dirty, and you have nothing left, you have no clean clothing left, and you're stuck at the middle of the 9 days. So some posts can allow you to launder just enough clothing that you need for the remainder. There are those who are more machmir. I remember I once asked a Shiloh of a Rav, you know, and I had run out of something during the 9 days, and I went to him, and I think I was in YU at the time, or I was in high school, and I went to him, and I asked him the Shiloh, and he said, you're out of luck. You know, it's better to even to buy, according to that Rav. It was better to buy, you know, a new garment rather than launder. So it's a matter of, it is a machlokas about it. But some say that if you run out, then you can wash, you know, just a couple of things that you need just to make it until the end. But again, try to prepare in advance so you can avoid that. If your shoes are scuffed and you want to polish them, you know, add polish to your shoes, that's okay. But if you want to shine your shoes, right, two different things. Polishing scuffed shoes is fine. Shining your shoes, you know, to make them, to give them that extra shine, even though they're okay now, but I want to shine them. So that we generally don't do during the 9 days. For Shabbos, they say, the post can say it's okay. If you want to shine your shoes for Shabbos, then that's okay. But otherwise we avoid it during, you know, if you're just walking in Penn Station, you know, during the 9 days and you have some time to kill, don't sit in the shoe shine booth and get your shoes shined during the 9 days. Okay. So that's laundering or cleaning clothing. Now, what about wearing freshly laundered clothing? Now, we know that in addition to not laundering clothing, we also don't wear freshly laundered clothing. That's not because of distraction. That's because of simcha. That's a sign of mourning, right? Just like during Shiva, you know, we wear the same garment throughout Shiva. So too during the 9 days, we're not supposed to wear freshly laundered clothing during the 9 days. So what do we do? So what we do is we try to wear all of the clothing before the 9 days, and we prepare, you know, ourselves a whole closet full of clothing or a drawer full of clothing, so that way we'll have clothing to wear during the 9 days. Most poskim say, in the name of Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, it's brought that as long as you wear the garment for a half hour, that's considered worn. So if you wear a shirt for a half hour, right, it's still clean. That's worn. You can take it off, put on the next shirt, wear that one for a half hour, and usually the few days before the 9 days, sometimes the day before the 9 days, you know, running around, you wear the shirt for a little bit just to take away the freshness a little. It's not crisp, it's not fresh, and now you can put it back and you can wear that during the 9 days. It's interesting when I was in high school, I was in Moresh HaKolel, so I was listening to shiurim from Rav Mordechai Willig. So Rav Mordechai Willig, we were learning Hilchos Avelus actually at the time, and he mentioned this halacha, and he said, based on his understanding of a Tosfos and Moed Katan, that you had to wear it, he said, I'm being lenient with you, that you can wear it for 8 hours, and that's enough. He said, that's my leniency, really, because Tosfos has a language in Moed Katan that it's, you have to wear something liyom o chatzi yom, for a day or half a day. So he said, let's assume that a person is awake for 16 hours a day. So, you know, again, I'm being very generous. You're awake for 16 hours a day. You're sleeping 8 hours a night. Like, you know, who sleeps 8 hours a night? And therefore, we will go with the chatzi yom. So that's 8 hours. So 8 hours, that's considered worn. That's
for freshly laundered?
Yes, exactly. Freshly laundered. Now, again, that's of Mordechai Willig's chumra. I've never heard that from anyone else. If you hold by all of his Piskei Halacha, then you should follow that one too. But if you hold by his kulas, he has some kulas. If you hold by his kulas, you should follow his chumras too. But otherwise, most poskim assume that once you wear something for a half hour, so that's considered not freshly laundered, and you're okay. Let me just finish this one thing, because I might answer your question, and then if not, I'll take the question. Interesting halacha that the poskim discussed. Let's say I didn't prepare enough clothing, and now comes it's Shabbos. And I realized, you know what, I don't really have enough clothing to make it to, you know, this year it's Monday night, Tuesday, Tisha B'Av, Monday night, Tuesday, I'm out of clothes. You know, everything is really dirty, it's in the hamper, I can't wear it anymore, I'm out of clothing. So the poskim said what you can do is if the clothing is fitting for Shabbos, you can't put on like, you know, ripped jeans and a t-shirt, but if the clothing is fitting for Shabbos, then you can change on Shabbos. You can wear, you know, you can start changing on, because Shabbos, we're allowed to wear freshly laundered clothing. I forgot to mention that. Right? Shabbos, we're allowed to wear freshly laundered clothing for Shabbos. So on Shabbos, you can start going through, you know, your freshly laundered clothing and put it on for a half hour on Shabbos. You know, you change it before, you change it afterwards. Isn't that preparing for Shabbos? So technically, you know, it should be considered hachana. But since, you know, and again, this gets into the laws of hachana, since, again, that's why it has to be something that is fitting for Shabbos. But if you're wearing ripped jeans and a t-shirt, which is not Shabbos clothing, you're wearing that on Shabbos, so obviously that's clear that that's hachana for during the week. But if I'm putting on something that really I could get away with on Shabbos, you know, and I'm putting that on today, so maybe I'm just wearing it today, you know, it's true that in my mind I'm preparing it for afterwards, but that doesn't matter. And even if in your mind, that's like we say, you know, a similar halach and hilchos hachana, is that if a person is, let's say you're driving somewhere, Motzei Shabbos, and you're going to be driving through the night or something like that. So you're allowed to take a nap on Shabbos afternoon, but you just can't verbalize and say that I'm taking the nap so that I'm well rested for Motzei Shabbos. right? Why? Because taking a nap on Shabbos afternoon is not an uncommon thing, and people like to enjoy a nap Shabbos afternoon, so take a nap Shabbos afternoon. It's true in your head, I'm thinking I'm really only doing it to prepare, but that's not called preparation. Preparing means it's something that's obvious from your actions that you're preparing. So this is not so obvious. I'm changing, you know, people have different outfits. I'm changing into my Shabbos afternoon outfit as opposed to my Shabbos morning outfit. So I'm changing my outfit. So that's something that you can do on Shabbos. The poskim say another suggestion, you know, if I'm really stuck and it's not Shabbos, it's after Shabbos, and I'm stuck, I have nothing left, and everything I have is in my closet, in my drawer, it's freshly laundered. So they say that you can, you can do other tricks to kind of take away the freshness a little bit. These are not ideal, but if you're really stuck, they say, you know, throw it on the floor, you know, knock it around a little bit, put it in the hamper for a few minutes. So that way, you know, most people don't want their clothing to be on the floor before they put it on. They don't want their clothing to be in the hamper with dirty clothes before they put it on. So if you do that, it also will remove some of the freshness. And then if you're really stuck, you can do those things and remove some of that freshness, and then you can put it on. If a person is having guests sleep over during the 9 days, you do not have to provide them with used linen or towels during the 9 days. You can provide your guests with fresh linen and fresh towels. It's not proper to provide people with used items, even if you don't tell them. But you don't have to do that. You can provide them with fresh linen and towels. You know, hotels and things like that, they have, you know, camps or whatever. You're going to visit a camp for Shabbos Chazon, you know, even though it's Shabbos, or you're going to visit for Thursday night, they're not going to give you dirty sheets. They're allowed to give you fresh sheets and fresh towels. That's fine. Well, if you're a very green-minded individual and you want you don't want to waste energy, so
I wasn't
you
thinking green. I yeah.
Was
thinking for a
90. Okay. If you want it, you can certainly request a used sheet. But I'm saying from the perspective of the homeowner, he's not required to provide that for his guest. Okay. Okay. The next topic is bathing, showering, swimming. We kind of put all that together. We do not, during the 9 days, it's an old minhag, we do not bathe, shower, swim for pleasure during the 9 days, right? Because it is pleasurable. We know it's pleasurable to take a nice hot shower. If you just jogged in the hot weather, it might be pleasurable to take a nice cold shower. But, it's pleasurable. We enjoy taking a nice bathing or swimming. We enjoy these things, and therefore we avoid them during the 9 days. The halacha is that if a person, if part of your body gets dirty, so let's say, for example, a person, you know, I'm changing a diaper and my hand gets dirty. So obviously you can wash your hand with hot water or whatever's necessary, with soap, you can wash it to remove that dirt. If you get, sweated up, you know, you can wash that part of the body that gets sweated up. So the poskim say, along those lines, if you get completely perspired, right, I'm walking outside, it's 90 degree weather, and by the end of the day I feel disgusting and I feel, you know, I was schwitzing the whole day. So then you're allowed to shower. You're allowed to shower. You can use soap, whatever's necessary to clean yourself, to clean off that sweat, that perspiration, to do that. You should try to, the shower, you should be showering to clean yourself. You shouldn't be showering for enjoyment. So make it a cooler shower if you want, you know, lukewarm. It doesn't have to be freezing cold. You don't have to, you know, there's no mitzvah to suffer in the shower. But, make it a little bit quicker and make it a little bit cooler than usual, and it should be clear. I'm just doing this just to clean myself, not to enjoy myself. You know, you shouldn't be in the shower enjoying yourself during that time. Now, I should make note of this. You know, we are a society, we are a very hygienic society. You know, America in 2017, we're very hygienic. People are we shower every day, we clean ourselves regularly. It wasn't always like that, and still in many parts of the world, it's still not like that. So we should just, it's important to keep in mind that if you don't need to shower, you know, if a person is sitting in an air-conditioned home the whole day, he never went outside, the whole day, I'm sitting and watching TV, I'm sitting and doing work, I never went outside, I didn't break a sweat today, you know, my house is set to 68, and I'm not really dirty, I haven't really perspired, so then really you should not shower then, you know, during the 9 days. If you don't have to, you should not. Just because we're used to and we're accustomed to showering every day is not really a great reason. It's not really a good enough heter to allow us to shower during the 9 days. If you're dirty, you feel disgusting, you're perspired, so then you can shower to clean yourself off. But otherwise, you know, we do, you know, we shouldn't just assume that, oh, nowadays we always shower, so it's fine. You know, we should remember that it is prohibited to do it, you know, during this time, unless person is dirty. On Erev Shabbos, most of us, I imagine, are accustomed to showering with hot water on Erev Shabbos. So the poskim say that if that's your custom, which most of us have that custom to shower in hot water Erev Shabbos, then you can do it even on Erev Shabbos Chazon. And again, and that's even if you don't really need it, right? Erev Shabbos Chazon, that's to prepare for Shabbos. So even if I don't really need it, but to prepare for Shabbos, I always shower in hot water, so I can shower in hot water to prepare for Erev Shabbos Chazon as well. But again, you know, you're not doing it to enjoy yourself. So don't stay in there for a half hour singing. You know, try to just get the job done, clean yourself, and get out. You get young children who, again, are constantly soiling themselves and ending up they're playing in the dirt, and they're you know, running around and getting all verschwitzt, you know, during the 9 days. So then you can shower them, bathe them regularly. You don't have to worry about that. Children already, again, who've reached that age where they're a little bit older, 7, 8, you know, 9 years old, where they're a little bit older and can begin to understand the concept of mourning over the Beis HaMikdash. So if they need to shower, then we try to train them like adults. If they need to shower, if they're dirty, they need to shower, so shower. If you don't need to shower, you're sitting inside playing video games all day in the air conditioning, you don't need to shower, then don't shower. So you know, that age, we try to train them like adults. In terms of building and construction, so, you know, and decorating. So generally, we avoid all types of building, constructing, decorating during the 9 days. Again, those are actions and things that do bring us simcha. You know, we like when we have something new, when our house is redone, when we decorate in a nice way. So we try to avoid that during the 9 days. The halacha is if a person hired a contractor for a specific job before the 9 days. So let's say I hired a contractor to put an addition on my home. And the contractor is not going to be done before Rosh Chodesh. So the halacha is that if he's a contractor, meaning it's what's called in Hebrew a kablan, you're not paying him by the hour or by the day, you're paying him for the job. Right. So you pay him for the job. So as long as that job began before the 9 days, technically he can work through the 9 days. Because he's not doing it during the 9 days, he was doing it before, he's doing the job. It happens to be the job continued throughout the 9 days, so that technically that's okay. The poskim do recommend that it's better if you can convince him to delay and say, listen, you know, Bob, whatever the case is, you know, why don't you take a break, go to a different job during the 9 days? You'll come back to me after Tisha B'Av, if he'll come back, right? You'll come back to me after Tisha B'Av, so it's better to do that. Even, and the Mishnah Berurah says, even if it means paying him a little bit more. You know, the guy says, listen, I don't really want to. So he says, listen, I'll give you a couple extra bucks to lay off of my job for this week and go to a different job. That's preferable. Not required, but preferable. But again, technically speaking, once you began the job before the 9 days, he can continue throughout the 9 days. Any building for a mitzvah purpose is allowed during the 9 days. So building that's going on for a mikvah, for a shul, anything like that does not have to stop during the 9 days. It's for a mitzvah. So that's not a binyan shel simcha. We're not doing it for simcha, we're doing it for a mitzvah. So that's okay. For those two reasons, you'll see that our steps and our driveway, the construction will probably continue throughout the 9 days. Even though I tried to get them to finish before the 9 days, but it's not going to happen. And so since...
guys have, like, if you're a developer, I mean, these guys have contracts for a year.
Right, right, right.
And
right,
not
right.
Only that, there's a time constraint.
There's a time constraint, right, right, right. Yeah, right.
You know,
right.
Such a time, right.
So sometimes, you know, sometimes it's not possible. But for those two reasons, because this job did start before the 9 days, and it's also for a mitzvah purpose because it's for the shul, so that's why it will be continuing through the 9 days. Demolition of a structure is allowed, even though I'm demolishing it so that I can rebuild it, right? Even if it's not for a mitzvah purpose or didn't begin before, you can't demolish during the 9 days. Let's say I want to get started right after the 9 days. So I want to do all the demolition during the 9 days. That's okay. Demolition is okay. And it might even remind you of the Chorban. So, you know, so that's okay. Decorating, all sorts of decorating that a person does in their home should be avoided during the 9 days. Whether it's painting, wallpapering, carpeting, all those kind of things should not be done during the 9 days. Should wait till afterwards. Any type of major landscaping. I'm not talking about regular gardening or maintenance. You don't have to cancel your gardener. If the gardener just comes and he mows the lawn and, you know, trims the bushes or whatever he does, that's fine. But to plant like a whole new garden, to do major landscaping, that again is something that brings simcha. You know, the guy does a great job, you come out, oh, that's a beautiful thing. So that's also something that we try to avoid during the 9 days. Again, you see the general rule here is that anything that's very enjoyable or brings a certain sense of enjoyment should try to be avoided. We discussed last time, we mentioned it a little bit, but also during the 9 days in general, the Gemara says, Mishenichnas av mematin besimcha, and it's also, the Gemara says, it's also a time of bad mazel, right? If a person has a court case, we try not to schedule court cases for this time period. And that's why, in general, and this is something that, you know, very often people are sometimes more sensitive even than rabbis about. You know, people have a strong sensitivity to these things, to avoid all sorts of things during the 9 days. People don't like to fly, they don't like to travel, they don't like to, you know, going on vacation is also related to enjoyment, but they don't like to schedule, you know, surgeries and things, you know, business deals, closings on houses, all these types of things people like to avoid during the 9 days. And the general rule is, it's good to avoid many of these things during the 9 days. 9 days should be for regular, standard, daily activities. Anything that requires, that we want good mazel for, you know, you try to avoid during the 9 days. Again, if it's something, there's going to be a loss. If a person needs surgery, so you have surgery, right? If a person needs to travel, he doesn't have a choice, so you travel. But, you know, but generally, if you can avoid a lot of these types of things, so you try to avoid them during the 9 days. Not quite usher, but again, you know, it's try to avoid. I always mentioned that when we were first married, I think I mentioned this last week also, when we were first married, the only time, you know, worked out, just our vacation, the only time we could both get away was during the 9 days. So we weren't flying anywhere, we were driving. But I spoke to the Rav, and he said, if that's the only time you can get away, you can go, right? It's not ideal. It's better to avoid vacationing. You want to be enjoying yourself too much during the 9 days. But if that's the only time you can get away, it's important for people to be able to get away a little bit, then that's something that's okay. So all these things are judgment calls, but the general rule is to try to keep the 9 days for daily routine activities and not things that are so enjoyable. We'll stop here for tonight. Ritz Hashem, next week we'll pick up with maybe the halachos of Tishah B'Av.
All right, we'll do a safe shot.